Shalom, saints, and welcome to Daily Devotion. Shall we read the book of Matthew chapter 6? We start from verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we know that treasure is the quantity of valuable objects. The quantity of valuable objects. I believe we all have valuable objects in life. We all have things that we value. We have things that we esteem highly. We have children and we value our children. We have finances. We value our finances. That is why we keep our monies in a bank. And then we also have security codes for our accounts and finances and all these things that are of valuable objects. We keep them in places which are safe. And because we want to safeguard them, because they bring meaning to life, they bring meaning to us, they help us, they bring purpose and all that. Now, the Bible here is telling us that we should not lay up treasures. In other words, you cannot get your money, for example. You know, there are times where people get paid, or maybe you've done a job. You wouldn't want to expose your monies. You wouldn't want to sit in a bus and you start counting all your monies. You know that this is a public place. Why? Because that is something of value and you don't want to risk it. You don't know which eye you attract to look at your value. So that is why people would prefer to lock themselves up in their house if they're budgeting their finances in the quietness of the room. Why? Because that is something very valuable. Now here, the Lord is telling us to say, when we have treasure, whatever thing that is of value to us, we should not expose it to a place which is not secure. We should lay it up in a place that is secure, in a place where it will not be destroyed. So from the scriptures, it has told us that there are two things that are risking the treasure. One, it says, let's look again, verse 19, let's read it again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. So firstly, there's corruption. There's something that can eat it up. There's something that can destroy it. While it is in a place, in as much as you may have put it in a place that's hidden, but you need to ensure that that hidden place does not have corruption to destroy it. At the same time, you should put it in a place where a thief cannot break in. So you may still secure it from corruption, but still if a thief is able to access it, you suffer loss. So after working so hard for your treasures, after working so hard for what you've done, you should ensure that your treasure is put up in the right place. Now, we have another example that the Lord Jesus gave us. Let us read Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came, said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt not do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Amen. I'll repeat this one. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, there's one thing we can ask ourselves. This young man knew from the bottom of his heart, he knew that he was doing fine. He knew that he had made it in life. He was still young. He still had a bright future. He was still energetic. He was financially secure. His future was secured. His future was complete. But look at him. This is someone that everybody would desire to be like. Everybody would desire to be like him. Would desire to live the life that he was living. But yet, this man was still in need of something. He was still searching for something. Because he knew that what he had was not the actual thing. So, what did he say? He was looking for the real treasure. And the Lord Jesus told him that if he wanted it to be perfect, he wanted to be complete, he needed to sell all. So, brothers and sisters, we are encouraged to sell all aspects of our lives. We need to sell it. When we have a commission, when we have a responsibility, let us put our heart to it. Let us commit to it. Now, the Lord is testing us here, because if this young man, if he truly trusted the Lord Jesus, if he truly respected the Lord Jesus, he would have listened to him. Because you can never listen to a person you don't trust. You can never listen to a person you don't respect. If you truly trust. So, like I was saying, the Lord said, what can I do to do the work of God? He said, believe on him whom he has sent. The Lord has sent us a message of the prophet. But this message of the prophet, if we truly believe it, how do you honor a prophet? You honor a prophet by doing what he says, not by saying what he's saying. Saying what he's saying is all right, but that has to be put in application. This young man here, he was able to come to Jesus, he was able to ask questions, but there was a problem. He did not really respect the Lord Jesus. He did not regard the Lord Jesus. He did not have, he was still reserved. He was still trying to look at meaning in life based on his eyes. Brothers and sisters, for us to have meaning, for us to have purpose, we have to die, and it has to be completely. The Lord should have every aspect of our lives. And if he has to do that, we have to be on the altar. We have to let that knife, we have to be on that altar like Isaac was. And the Lord has to thrust that sword right into the heart until we bleed for Jesus Christ. We have to die. And that's the only thing. And the Bible says, unless a seed dies, it abides alone. You have a seed in your life. You have a gift. You have a purpose, you have a reason. But as long as you are in the wilderness, you are moving around, you are wandering around, you are not yet dead. You have to die. You have to sell all that you have. You have to sell your fear. You have to sell your uncertainty. You need to plunge in, brothers. We need to plunge in. We need to do the work of God. The problem is we are so much afraid. We are intimidated. We are procrastinating. We are underestimating what the Lord has given us. You are underestimating the power. You are underestimating the potential. If only you knew. If only you can see. If only you can see what the devil is seeing in you. You would not procrastinate anymore. You will not stay back anymore. You will not cry anymore. You will not grumble anymore. You will not fight anymore. You will sit down and do that which the Lord has given you. Like Joshua and Caleb, they said, we are more than able. They didn't say we are able. They said we are more than able. Because the Bible says that we are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Brothers and sisters, you are a privileged people to receive this message of the hour. If you see the denomination world, They are starving. They are eating from garbage cans. They are eating from tins. They are eating from this rubbish. Look at the, what the church is. There's an argument of homosexuality in a church. Is that even something you need to debate about? Is that something you should waste time about? Why? Because they are starving. They don't have the food. But you and I, we are more than able. You and I, we are more than able. You and I, we've been given the commission. You and I, we've been given the blessing. And this young man here, verse 20, the young man saith unto him, not 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Brothers and sisters, that seed that is in you, you need to let unbelief die in your heart. As long as you have unbelief, I don't care how much you can sing, I don't care how much you can give, I don't care how much you can prophesy, as long as there's still an aspect of unbelief in your heart, you need to let it go. The Lord Jesus, he wants you to come completely. He wants you to die completely. That is why we don't bury people who are in a coma. There are people whom they say they are brain dead maybe, but as long as their heart is there, we cannot bury that person because that person is not dead. Everything has to shut down. Their heart has to shut down. The brain, everything in that body, the body should grow cold, and then we are ready to bury that body. So, when we come to the Lord Jesus, we come all the way. Now, we look at another story in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. We start from 7, verse 7. Genesis chapter 13. I think this is a time when there was a difference between the headman of Lot and the headman of Abraham. And Abraham had offered Lot to choose a side so that they could separate, to choose where he would want to go. And then Abraham would take the other one. So let's look at verse 10 of Genesis chapter 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Brothers and sisters, you know, Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot, when it came to him choosing, he did not seek the Lord. When Abraham told him to choose, he would have said, can I give you an answer tomorrow? Can I come back on such a date? Let me pray about it. Lot was supposed to go on his knees. The Lord would have told him what to do. But the Bible says he lifted up his eyes. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, people choose career over ministry. I'm not saying we should start neglecting work, our livelihoods. I'm not saying that. But there are certain times we regard education above the word of God. It becomes a priority. It becomes a life and death affair to many people. But brothers and sisters, Lot made a mistake. He lifted up his eyes. He looked. The Bible says the place was well watered. Now, look at Lot. The place that was well watered, the place which was supposed to bless him, the place that was supposed to bring him happiness, the place which was supposed to bring him satisfaction, it brought him heartaches. The Bible says when he lived in Sodom, his soul was vexed. So that is why every decision, every choice, God has to be there. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. It doesn't matter how small. a situation, how small a challenge is, let the Lord lead you. Let him guide you. Let him be in the front. Let him be in the fore. Let him lead. Let him guide you. Because your way, we don't know of tomorrow. We don't know of tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, we all don't know how long we live on earth. We don't know the day we'll die. We don't know when our days are. So we don't know of tomorrow. So when the Lord is speaking, that voice is always there, brothers and sisters. And that voice is for your good. Because in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, what does the Lord say? In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think toward you. The Lord knows his thoughts. Said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. The Lord knows his thoughts over you. Thoughts of peace. But the devil tells you that the Lord's thoughts over you are grievous. The Bible says the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. But when you are finding the commandments of the Lord grievous, you are finding God's work grievous, you are finding commitment to church programs grievous, it means you are not dead. It means there is a wrong thing in you. There is a thing that is not compatible. That thing in you is not compatible. Disobedience and worldliness is not compatible with Jesus. It is not compatible with the gospel. It cannot work. When you get a part that is not compatible, you will forfeit it. You will destroy the whole thing. But brothers and sisters, get rid of the thing that is not compatible. Get rid of sin. Get rid of laziness. Get rid of procrastination. Go, stand, take the word of God. Take the grace of God. The Lord will go with you. The Lord will stand with you. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will lead you to the battle. Take a stand. He's waiting. You are the one to start. God said, draw nigh and I'll draw near to you. So it's you to start. Take the initiative. Follow the Lord. Seek him. Die. Rot. Decompose. Wait until you rot. Then you will resurrect. So here, his thoughts are good thoughts. That's where the battle lies, brothers and sisters. His thoughts towards you are good thoughts. He wants you to prosper. When they went to Canaan, you know, when they looked at those giants, those spies, I can tell you what they saw there. With their eyes, it was a terrible sight. With their eyes, it was a scary sight. And because it was a scary sight, they were not able. They gave up because they forgot. You see, when the Lord gives us a promise, I just want us to read that story. When the 12 spies went in. Numbers chapter 13, let's start from 27. So this is after the 12 spies had gone to spy the land. So, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they testified that what God has promised is for real. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. Now, the problem, brothers and sisters, here is that these people, they forgot that God told them to go and spy the land, to go and see it and see how they can take it, meaning they needed to fight them, but they were not supposed to see what they saw with their eyes. They were not supposed to look at what they looked at with their eyes. And 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites. You see, this is a problem. Whenever you are called by God as a child of God, as a Christian, the Lord knows your ways. He knows your problems. He knows your history. It doesn't mean that God doesn't know your problems. It doesn't mean God doesn't know your sorrows. He does. And Now look at this. All the list of complaints. I don't have this. I'm weak. Last week I was going through this. I have this weakness. I have this problem. Last time I was doing this. He knows. The Lord knows your weaknesses. And they continued with a negative confession. Negative, negative, negative. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word. As you are speaking the word, the negative confession, you are giving faith to the dark kingdom. You are giving faith to failure. You are giving faith to darkness, to defeat, to despair, to desperation. As a man thinketh in his heart. After the confession, the thought is created. You start believing it. You start believing yourself. But stand up. Rise up, brothers and sisters. But Caleb instilled the people. Caleb said, look, what are you people doing? Caleb instilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Now, what is the difference? Why? Why is Caleb saying a different thing? When all the 10 have agreed, all the 10 have testified what they have seen with their eyes, not with their hearts. Because Caleb saw with his heart. Caleb saw with his heart that what I see today will not be there tomorrow. Because it's vanity. That's what vanity is. Now, people are so obsessed with life on earth, so obsessed with career, so obsessed with work, so obsessed that the work of God is neglected. You only come to church on a Sunday. Midweek services, you are not there. Special meetings, you are not there. You have a meeting, you have a job, you have a business, you have a business. It's not bad to work, brothers and sisters, but let us see with our heart. And the devil loves to play drama. And he loves to keep you busy, hooked. And when you come to church on a Sunday, you are tired. You are wearied by the programs you did through the week. And your heart is not there. Brothers and sisters, you can never get the land. And Caleb stilled the people. He said, we are able. What was the difference between Caleb and these other guys? Because Caleb spent time in prayer. Caleb knew the Lord he was talking about. He had a relationship with God. The other believers, yes, they were believers quite all right, but they did not have a closer walk with God. It's not like they were not children of God. They were Israel. They were the chosen people. But the problem was that they did not sit down to listen to the Lord, to wait on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have a challenge. We need to spend more time with Him. More than we spend time with people. More than we spend time with our neighbors. More than we spend time with people around us. Because Christianity is not on a physical level. It's a spiritual level. Christianity is not by sight. We don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by what we hear. We don't walk by the precurrent situation in our economy. Precurrent situation in our environment. We walk by faith. We walk by the promises which are yea and amen. And the promises of the Lord shall see you through, brothers and sisters. You will manage. The Lord will lead you through the promised land. Because He's the one who called you. He will guide you. So, like Joshua and Caleb, let us remember we are more than able to take the land. The Lord literally bless you. Amen.